It's not good for one's health to eat too quickly, to eat too fast. Similarly, when we consume information at breakneck speed, it's not good for our mental health. For we are eroding our capacity for wisdom. We are processing information quickly, but without sustained attention and reflection. Our overstimulated brains are becoming weaker, less critical, and more gullible at a time in history when we need them to be sharper than ever. This information comes from a book I'm reading called Wisdom Pyramid. If you want a good read, that's what I would encourage you. The point is, we need to be growing in wisdom and discernment, not becoming more gullible. And Solomon addressed our age when he said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 22, "Wisdom crieth without, it uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple or naive ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." And isn't that a picture of what's going on in our world today? Fools are hating knowledge. This morning, I want us to understand that the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Friends, if you are going to have wisdom, if you are going to have knowledge and understanding, mark it down. It's not going to come from this world. It's going to come from the living God. And where is God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding found? Of course, in God's Word, the Bible. Now, in particular, I want us to study this morning 1 Corinthians 2, where we find a clear contrast between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. And in this message, we will define man's wisdom and God's wisdom with the prayer that we will then know the difference and then choose to believe and follow God's wisdom. Well, point number one, Paul's description of the world's wisdom, we find in this portion of Scripture that he gives us really three main sketches of man's wisdom. And first, he says, man's wisdom cannot understand God's divine wisdom, neither externally nor internally, objectively or subjectively, can man in his wisdom discover God. God's truth, as we read in verse 9, is not observable by the eye or the ear, no matter how sophisticated man's effort might be. Notice verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Rationalism, empiricism cannot reason out God. And this fact is further confirmed in verse 14, where Paul writes, "But the natural man," and the Greek word used here for natural describes the materialistic, the one who lives for this world, who lives as if there was nothing beyond this physical life. Friends, the unsaved, unregenerate man, the materialist, receives not, he does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, because he regards them as foolishness. And so why waste time on spiritual things, foolish things, when you can be living for a world you think you can see and experience? Now, the reason the human heart cannot reason its way to God is because God and his ways are spiritually discerned. They are Holy Spirit judged. They are spiritually appraised. Someone has aptly said that the best man can do on his own is to gnaw the bark of Scripture without getting into the wood. Which brings us to our second point, and that is man's wisdom is adverse to God's wisdom. Man's wisdom, first of all, cannot understand divine wisdom, and then secondly, it stands against God's wisdom to the point it crucified the author of God's wisdom. Notice verse 7 and 8, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And friends, how could the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, Herod Antipas, as well as the Romans represented by Pilate and his soldiers as natural men, grasp the gospel plan witnessed at Calvary? Remember what Paul just said in the previous chapter, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Which tells us if Jesus was living on earth right now, men would crucify him for advancing such what they would consider foolishness. Friends, the wisdom of the natural man is unchanged even with our scientific advances in technology. But again, here is the outcome of human wisdom. In the world's eyes, Jesus was and is anything but glorious. He is not the Lord of glory. And we know why the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. By the way, some scholars consider the title, as we see at the end of verse 8, Lord of Glory, as the loftiest title Paul ever gave to Jesus, which is certain proof that Paul regarded Jesus as God. But again, man's wisdom crucified Jesus. It put God to death. That's what man's wisdom did. It put God to death. And thus I ask, what kind of wisdom would do that? It's the wisdom that comes from hell. Again, think about man's wisdom. What man's wisdom tries to do today is, first of all, silence God's witness. There's only one opinion that's allowed. We see that on the progressive side of how people think. Look at Twitter. I don't have a Twitter account. Maybe you do. But, you know, if you stand against the progressive mindset of today, what are you? You're canceled. The man's wisdom cannot coexist long with truth. One or the other, they say, must win out. And we see how what they're doing right now to try to crucify the followers of Jesus. That's what man's wisdom attempts to do. Which brings us to our third point, what Paul declares of man's wisdom. And we see that in verse 6, and which says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to, what's the last word? Naught or nothing. And the demise of man's wisdom should surely not surprise us. Its source is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and therefore it is empty, it is futile, it comes, but then it goes, because it is passing eternally away. Remember, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but is of the world, is passing away, and the lust thereof. And we say, good riddance, for how damaging and destructive is the wisdom of man. Speaking of man's wisdom, Oprah Winfrey won a Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2018 Golden Globes. And she said in her acceptance speech, what I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Your truth. Friends, your truth, which originates with man's wisdom, is whatever you determine truth is. Now, can I be perfectly candid? And I want to be gracious. But such thinking is an incoherent nightmare. And we see this mindset, your truth is just as good as my truth, unfolding before our very eyes. For this thinking changes with the whims of culture. For example, this truth is declared, well, yesterday I was a boy, but today I'm a girl. Yesterday I was straight, but today I'm gay. Honestly, this is a philosophy, a way of thinking that destroys people, families, and entire societies. Friends, we don't get to choose whether or not something is true. We are not God. We are not the inventors of truth. We don't determine what is right and wrong. Only God can do that because only God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May our hearts cry out in compassion for the salvation of those who are living such a fantasy. Now, Christ himself warns of the inevitable outcome of such thinking when he said in Matthew chapter 7, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. I think it's ironic that the world calls us foolish. Or the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But what does God call them? Foolish. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, which is what life is, ladies and gentlemen. And beat upon that house, and it fell, and great, terrible was the fall of it. How did Paul describe the wisdom of this world? He said that it stands, that it cannot understand God's wisdom. Number two, it stands as an adversary against God's wisdom. And number three, it will come to naught. Friends, why follow such wisdom? Why follow such wisdom? It comes to naught. Think about it. You live your entire life following the wisdom of this world, and at the end of the only life you will ever live, it will come to nothing. Which brings us to Paul's description of God's wisdom, which is truth. And in this chapter, he defines God's wisdom in four ways. First, Paul specifies that God's wisdom comes in a mystery form. Notice, we read this earlier, but notice verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, the Greek word for mystery does not refer to something strange or puzzling, but rather to that which is held secret. And God intentionally holds his wisdom a secret from the natural man and his earthly wisdom. And we see that stated by God or Christ himself when he said, I thank God, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. But to his chosen ones, his babes, so to speak, his children, his called and redeemed ones, God predestined to give his saving wisdom through his Son, leading ultimately, think about this, to our eternal glory. Romans 8:18 states, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world or this present time, we are the offscouring of earth, of this age. We are the ones put down. We are the ones hated. We are the ones despised. But Paul writes, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall what? See him as he is. And then second, Paul explains that this wisdom of God is Holy Spirit given. And we see this truth really in verses 10 through 15. Friends, the Holy Spirit is the Trinity's agent to communicate this divine wisdom. And he does so through revelation. He reveals the truth to us. It is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then this brings us to our third point, Paul's third characterization of God's wisdom, that he transmits this divine wisdom through illumination. Notice verses 11 and 12. For what man knoweth the things of man, saith the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received, first the spirit of God reveals, and then he gives us the understanding to receive, not the spirit of the world. In other words, we can discern, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. God's wisdom, thirdly, is spiritually discerned. God's wisdom found in God's word is spiritually evaluated, spiritually appraised, spiritually understood. We need that spiritual illumination. Remember what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, verse 18. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may what? Behold wondrous things out of thy law. Martin Luther rightly said, the Bible cannot be understood simply by study or talent. You must count on the influence of the Holy Spirit. Friends, the Holy Spirit must open our eyes before we can truly know and rightly interpret God's wisdom. And so as we see in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that simply means that the Holy Spirit explains spiritual things to spiritual people. And therefore, we can rightly judge, as we see in verse 15, all things. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And that simply means, when Paul says he himself is judged of no man, it means no natural man is equipped to judge a spiritual man. And then verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Friends, God's wisdom is having the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, you have God's wisdom. The two are synonymous. And doesn't Christ think God's thoughts? Doesn't he understand God's wisdom? Absolutely. And so to have his mind is to have our minds opened like the disciples on the road to Emmaus to his wisdom, which can be understood by every spirit-filled, obedient, diligent Christian who studies to show himself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me just briefly, and this is not an exhaustive list, but let me just briefly give you several marks of this wise man who has the mind of Christ. Number one, he has discernment. He walks a straight path. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. He walks a straight path. Second, he exercises patience and perseveres no matter what. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him, and he upbraideth him not. Number three, he walks humbly with God. He is not wise in his own eyes. Number four, he thinks virtuously. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he thinks on these things. He thinks soundly. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He lives for the world to come. He seeks those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He has a living hope. Peter tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living or lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He lives his life in hope. I have thought more than one time, if this is all that I have in life, and I have had a good life, if I didn't have Jesus and heaven to look forward to, what hope do I have? There is no hope in the wisdom of this world. And if you don't have hope, you will die. You will die. Maybe not right away physically, but inside you are dying. But when you have the mind of Christ, when you have his wisdom, you have a hope that lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives for others. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. He possesses God's grace or God's peace. He brings things to God in prayer, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps or guards his heart. And number 10, he loves the souls of men. Christ said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And then Christ says to everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them, he says, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was built upon or founded upon a rock. What a contrast between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. Friends, you will follow one or the other. You can't follow both at the same time. And so I ask, what wisdom marks your life? Are you controlled by man's wisdom, which we can call your truth, that cannot understand the wisdom of God, that stands in opposition to God and his wisdom, that put God's Son to death, that would put you to death if it could, and that will come to naught? Or are you governed by, ruled by God's wisdom that, yes, comes in mystery form, but it is Holy Spirit given, it is spiritually understood, and it has the mind of Christ. Friends, such divine wisdom will enable you and your children and your grandchildren to live out Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And God's will is that you have and you live out his wisdom.